Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you gave us the Spirit upon salvation. And Lord, you want us to understand the gifts. You want us to understand the Spirit. You want us to be a people who fellowship with the Spirit. Lord, you want us to live empowered lives. You want our ministries to have power in order to give you glory. And so we pray that you would take this time and just encourage our hearts, and whatever you're doing in our midst, Holy Spirit, we say yes to it, God. And we pray that there would just be an increased measure and increased outpouring of your Spirit in these next few weeks and months, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, let's go to the introduction here on the notes. We'll start with letter A. I want to take a few moments just to give introductory remarks before I get into the actual basic introduction of the gifts. Because that's where we're going to go tonight. We're going to go just talk briefly about the gifts of the Spirit at more of a introductory level. But before we do all that, I've just got a few points I want to make on the Holy Spirit himself. And that is, the Holy Spirit is actually God. The Holy Spirit is not like some weird aspect that, you know, we charismatics or Pentecostals mention because we want a little more spice in our meeting. The Holy Spirit is actually the third person of the Trinity. He's not talked about in many circles. I mean, some people are really into Jesus, some people are really into the Father, but the Holy Spirit is unusually not talked about. In fact, Francis Chan wrote a book, and I've read it, called The Forgotten God. Because he is aware of so many circles that they just throw out the Holy Spirit entirely. And I'm going to make a point here in a minute, but that is really a great error. And I feel that we need to reclaim a focus on the Holy Spirit as much as the Father, as much as Jesus. They all have to be front and center in our mind. But even saying that, I know sometimes confuses people. So I want to be very clear that the Holy Spirit is God. We only worship one God. There's only one God in the Bible, but that one God is expressed in three persons. All the major creeds and historic Christianity upholds that we worship one God expressed as Father, Son, Spirit. That's just how God has decided to be. I wish it was a little more clear to my mind. I wish it was a little more intellectually graspable. But God says, I am one, yet three. I'm one being expressed as three persons, and the three main persons he's expressed as is a dad, a son, and a spirit. And just right there, it's just like, why did you choose to be like that? Isn't one just one? But how is one three? And there's so many anomalies like that intended to just humble our intellect. And we don't try to argue with it. We just say, yes, okay, one and three, the same thing, okay. And there's just so much to learn. But we have to know, we're not talking about a little piece of God. We're not talking about, you know, some weird mystical reality. This is fully God we're talking about. The Holy Spirit is God. And we must learn to relate to God as He is, as the Holy Spirit. As much as you say, Jesus, I want to love you. You can, I mean, it's in bounds to say, Holy Spirit, I want to love you. Father, I want to love you. It's just that we often don't think Holy Spirit as a person. I believe much of the church's emphasis on the person of the Spirit, even amongst what I would consider my folk, which are charismatics and Pentecostals, I don't think we talk about the Holy Spirit enough. And we're going to get into some scriptures tonight, but Jesus clearly said, I'm going to leave, and that's a good thing because I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, the Helper. And so he actually says, my physical body leaving so that I would send you the Spirit that would live on the inside is actually better than my physical presence, which is so odd. I mean, I would prefer a guy just to walk around with me and tell me what to do and how to love people and, you know, how to pray. But he says it's better that I put this being inside of you that gives you little impressions throughout the day. That's better than my physical presence being with you. Which is really, I think, a tough concept for me to grasp at times. So we need to seek to know the Lord as the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And again, there's just one God. We'll do Q&A at the end if you're interested in, you know, kind of going, what are you talking about there? Always want to mention that, but we worship one God. Now let's go to letter B. We can be born again, in love with Jesus, happy that we have a Father in heaven that gives us good gifts, and be totally unaware of the Holy Spirit in our life. This is actually really common. We can be really on fire for the Lord and have no clue about the Holy Spirit. In fact, there were people in the book of Acts, when the apostles would go to their village, they'd say, did you receive the baptism of the Spirit? We've never even heard of it. We heard of John's baptism. We've never heard there was a baptism of the Spirit. And that 2,000 years later is still happening. Many Christians have really not a lot of knowledge about God's Spirit. And what I think is interesting, before Paul introduces the gifts of the Spirit, first thing he says is, guys, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be unaware that these are real. There's a real Spirit. There are real gifts of the Spirit, and they're good. And we need to be aware of the Holy Spirit. So we're exhorted in Scripture. Don't be ignorant. Don't be uninformed. Different translations use different words there. And here's the thing. God has chosen to use His Spirit, and specifically the gifts of the Spirit, as the primary means of releasing power. The primary means of releasing power into the church, into our life, into the community. It is the Spirit, and it's the gifts of the Spirit. So if we just throw that out and say, well, the Holy Spirit's controversial, I don't know if I want the gifts of the Spirit, we've essentially thrown out nearly every means of grace that God's trying to use to change our life, shape culture, change, you know, our church atmosphere, etc. If we just throw these out, we've just limited about 99% of what God would do in our life. Because almost everything rolls up into one of the nine categories we're going to talk about. We just can't make the mistake. And I believe a lot of very smart, godly people, their focus is something else, and so they just never think that they're not aware there's a real person, the Spirit of God, that we can have a relationship with, that His power is much needed in our life. Okay. Let's go on to letter C here. I put that the Spirit's gifts are essential to Christian life and ministry. I believe the Spirit's gifts are absolutely critical. I have been interested in the gifts for most of the time I've been saved as a believer. I believe in them. I've seen them in operation. I know that there's controversy related to them, but there was controversy the day Jesus was born. There's always been, if it's authentically God, there's always someone that's against it, okay? So don't just throw it out because someone's against it. But I believe one of the greatest, most devastating errors in our day, one of the biggest ones, probably top two or three, is that there are whole churches and communities kind of saying, in essence, no thanks, Holy Spirit. We would rather run our church a little more neat and clean. We don't want you to bother us. We don't want weird prophetic words. We don't want healings. There's so much of this. And when we make that kind of heart position, no matter how noble we sound, no matter how intellectual we make it seem, we have just quenched nearly every means God wants to use to make our church better, or our ministry, or our life, or our family, because He's always going to come by the Holy Spirit, almost always, and use one of the gifts. Bless that little one, whatever he's saying. Now, if we just throw out God the Spirit, all we have then is what we can muster up. Our talent, our gifting, our, you know, whatever, our savvy. But that does actually nothing. Anybody can get into a room and get excited. But when God's Spirit is in the midst, people radically change. And that's what we're after. We're not after mostly just, I mean, unbelievers can get together and have a concert and be excited and leave inspired. But when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about people gathering together calling on God, and His Spirit comes and radically encounters people and changes them through one of the gifts or through what He's sovereignly doing. We cannot make this error. You know, now that we're in the website era, we can know what people believe just by going to their website. And so I'll go to so-and-so church, look at their website, and you know, there it is. There's their statement. We're not really into the Holy Spirit. I'm like, oh, how do you say we're going to cut part of the Trinity off? I've never gotten that. I kind of get it, but I don't get it. Here's the thing. You cannot say, well, we want you, Holy Spirit, but we don't want the gifts. That's disruptive. That's like saying, Jesus, we love you, but you know, we really have to obey everything you said. They're just one and the same. It's like, I can't marry my wife. It's like, well, I want to marry you, but you know, just kind of, there's a lot about you I don't want. You can't do no gifts but love the Holy Spirit. You take all of Him, you swallow the whole thing. And so we just can't say, well, you know, Holy Spirit, He's saying, I'm God, I'm right, I'm all wise, everything that comes from me is perfect. It's you, you're the one who doesn't have a renewed mind. And we can't approach God with our list of like, well, if you would change this and that, and we'll invite you into our service. He's like, I'm God. I really have a reason for those 9 gifts. They're really important. So sometimes we just kind of need to go through a little bit of a switch there. Now, James 2:26 says, the body without the Spirit is dead. And the Lord gave me an insight one time as I was meditating on it. The body or the church, the body of Christ without the Holy Spirit is dead. The truth is, if we don't have the Spirit operating in our life or ministry, all we have is our human zeal and power, and that does almost nothing. We have to have the Spirit of God. Okay, let's go down to number 2. A basic introduction of the gifts of the Spirit. I'm just going to read the full text, verse 1 through 11. Here, the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians. He was actually writing to a church that was moving in the gifts already, helping them to understand what was happening. And he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. The NIV says uninformed. I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I believe why he kind of makes that statement is he's saying, basically, you can't get saved without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's really important. And then he leads in and he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. And he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. I said this last week, but if you want to do just a deep study on the gifts of the Spirit, do 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Those are the premier chapters in all of the New Testament, aside, you know, the book of Acts. But as far as breaking things down with more detail, like you read the book of Acts and you're like, oh my goodness, I want that. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14 gives you the full list of the gifts of the Spirit. Then Paul goes on to talk about the unity of the church. 1 Corinthians 13, we want to do all that we do in love. And then 1 Corinthians 14, prophetic in tongues, he breaks those down further. But if you're just saying, Lord, I want to understand this, I want to learn more, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, go over them again and again, do different translations, and just get in your heart and mind what Scripture says about them. But if we go down to letter A, there are 9 categories of gifts of the Spirit. And what I believe is that each category has many expressions. I believe these are just the high-level So in other words, if we say gifts of healings is a gift of the Spirit, there's many, you know, ways gifts of healings is expressed. You know, a healed headache, a grown out arm. There's so many things a healing could look like, but these are high level descriptions of the gifts of healings and the other gifts. So I don't. There could probably be hundreds of manifestations of the Spirit that we just have no idea about. But these, I think, are the ones they roll up into. And the more we wrap our mind around them, the more we understand this is how God wants to move. He wants to release words of knowledge to people. He wants to release wisdom to people. He wants to heal people. These nine gifts are an evidence of how He wants to move. Well, the things He wants to do, He wants to do miracles. He wants to do healings. He wants to release tongues. And there's many specific reasons why He wants to do that. But when we look at the nine gifts, we just go, these are the nine primary ways we assume you're wanting to move. This is what it says in the Bible. And again, if you throw out those nine, it's like, what's He going to do now? He can't talk to people. He can't touch people. You're like, so we got to do this. We got to believe. So anyway, I just put down here, there's an example. If the gift is different kinds of tongues, there could be all kinds of various tongues. Known or unknown. Some people get their prayer language and they speak in a tongue no one's ever heard of. Some people get a prayer language and it's a known language. I've heard a number of stories where some guy gets their prayer language and it's like French or English or something. They're from another country and they'll start speaking in tongues and some guy says, I know exactly what you're saying. You're speaking in my language. I just think there's so many neat ways God does that. I heard a story one time. I know of a guy. I've met him like once or twice. His tongues was like an old style French, and it changed into another language. Sometimes it would go old style French to regular French, and people would just stand next to him as he spoke in tongues and interpret and just listen in on what he's praying. And I just think that's hilarious. Why would you even do that, God? But I've heard people in other countries, their tongues is English, and just crazy stories. You just never know. God gives it to you. And then there could be you could have an unknown language or maybe a dialect of something. But all of those are under the heading gift of the Spirit. Speaking in tongues. If I confused you again, we'll do Q&A at some point here. I know you'll have a question, Brother Ken, as always. Just start working on it.
I'm ready, man. I already got it.
Like I said earlier, there's many ways a person can be healed, but it's a gift of healing. Now let's just, again, what are the nine gifts? Just one more time, word of wisdom. We're going to break all these down in the coming weeks. Word of wisdom, when God gives you wisdom for something. Word of knowledge, a piece of knowledge you could never know except God tell you, someone's middle name or birthday or something that's going to happen. Faith. Gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy. I believe that refers to future events. Discerning of spirits. How to distinguish between a good and a bad spirit or a demon spirit or an angelic thing or whatever. Different kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Those are the nine gifts. Now let's go down to letter B. Doing okay on time here. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are spiritual gifts. This is very important to understand. He says there in 1 Corinthians 12, now concerning spiritual gifts. Now concerning gifts that are spiritual in nature. This is unbelievably important to understanding how God will open these to us because they're not natural things we work for or earn. These are spiritual realities. They're of the Holy Spirit and they're gifts to receive. So we're not going to do enough fasting to earn it. It's just a free gift. And I don't fully know why some people are super gifted and others aren't. I mean, we're told to desire gifts. So I know desire and passion unlocks them more. But these are spiritual gifts. They're not our gifts that we're good at playing guitar or we're good at speaking. These are spiritual in nature. They're beyond our natural giftedness. And so I just broke down there. They're not physical. They're not our natural senses. They don't originate in us. We can't produce the gift of the Spirit. It's something totally of the Holy Spirit, not of us. And when you think of a gift, what do you think of? You know, I always think Christmas. That's I just whenever I talk about, you know, the gifts of the Spirit or, you know, this gift or that gift, I just think, you know, what? How do I get a gift at Christmas? I just see it there and I get happy and I open it and use it. I mean, that's really the idea of God is saying, I'm a generous, thoughtful Father, and I just love to give things for no reason other than I love you. And that's kind of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are to be understood. We didn't do anything. You know, we just understand we're a loved people. Our Father likes us, and He gives us these things to open and use so that other people benefit. And so when we believe that it's like mostly I was so dedicated, I earned it, then we kind of get pompous about it. But when it's just the Lord loves us and He uses these things, we kind of just go, okay, we're going to open them for other people's benefit. They're not for us to just strut around and show off our anointing. The gifts of the Spirit, biblically, they're to build others. And I've heard, as you know, many crazy stories. It's just point being, whether our maturity is awesome or not, people will be used in the gifts. It's not anything to do with our maturity. It's not anything to do with, you know, how dedicated we are. I mean, people can be used in miracles and they're new in the Lord. And then people that are dedicated for 40 years, they've not seen any miracles. So there's an element of we have to receive them by faith and open them by faith and step out and use them and delight in them. Now, I just think of it like this. If I went down on Christmas morning and I was just like, wow, Mom and Dad, you got me 9 presents. And I just was like, but our presents really for today. You know, if I didn't open them and I just kind of was like, you know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I don't like that stuff. You know, or if I, you know, it's just no kid on Christmas morning would see 9 presents sitting there and not open them and play with them. But we get all weird and stuffy and religious about the gifts of the Spirit. We want to be holier than thou, better than, all these. And the Father's like, oh, these are like gifts to you. I want you to open them, enjoy them, use them, bless people with them. I mean, it's like He blessed me with a truck, and so I like to, you know, help people out and take loads of furniture to people's houses. I mean, it's like He blessed me with the truck, so I get to bless others with it. The same idea is with the gifts. We want to operate in the prophetic. We want to speak in tongues. We want to be using all the gifts so that people are built up. And we don't have to sit there and be like, well, you know, my Father gave me a gift, but I don't really want to talk about it. No, like anybody, any kid that gets a toy is like jazzed about it. They want to tell the whole neighborhood they got this awesome toy. We want to be big in the Spirit. We want to say, God, the Holy Spirit's awesome. And everything that's from Him is good and right. And so you can't overplay God. And so we just want to, you know, we want to move in this stuff so people are wowed and they want to serve God. You know, if you operating in one of the gifts of the Spirit opens someone's heart and they want to be more dedicated to the Lord, that's the gold standard. That is really what it's all about. You know, someone, you know, you give a word of knowledge to someone and they're just like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that was possible. And you just get to go, God's awesome, man. Like, He loves you. That, to me, just never gets old. That's where we need to take this stuff. You lay hands on someone and they get healed. Jesus is alive, man. Serve Him. Worship Him. Give Him your whole life. And that's how this is to work. Now, I believe here in letter C, I put every believer can be using the gifts. This is my conviction. This is what I'm kind of sad that many people kind of count themselves out. They think, well, I'm not that mature. I've only been saved for 20 years, not 30 like that guy, or I haven't fasted a lot. These are gifts. And when you got saved, the entire Holy Spirit, fully God, came into you, and not pieces of Him, the full Holy Spirit, all of God, came into your spirit. Anything is a possibility. Anything. And I think we do ourselves a disservice when we kind of go, well, I think I got that gift. Well, no, that's one that manifested recently, but why count yourself out of the other ones? I believe everybody can be given be used in any of the gifts at any time. I don't think, you know, we're all going to flow in it all every church service, but I think we certainly need to stay open to being used in any of them at any time. I think what people do is they say, well, I haven't seen it this year, or I don't usually get used in all of them every service, so maybe I just got the one. And it's like, no, that's one that the Lord graciously opened to you to stir your heart for to be used in more. Often, what people experience first is speaking in tongues, and that's to open the door to the others. That's to lead from one to the next. I have here in Scripture 1 Corinthians 12:7, the gifts are given to or distributed to each one in order to profit all people, to benefit all people. So if you are given the gift of speaking in tongues, that's beneficial to other people. If you're given the gifts of, or used in gifts of healings, that's in order to benefit people. And the whole idea is God wants to gift us to build His church. Not necessarily only our ministry, just out on the street, in Kroger, out Planet Fitness, working out. He wants you to move in these things. I mean, the word of knowledge could be something you get to put out on Twitter, or the gift of healing may be something you get in advance for a week from now. I mean, there's just no limit to what God could communicate and use you to do. But it's to build up His church. It's to build people. It's to strengthen them. I mean, I told a bunch of stories last weekend of just prophetic, neat things happening when we were out at IHOP. But so many times I'm just so like, wow, God, You're awesome. But I just think that young man who's just sitting off by himself, and I get an impression, and I go speak it to him, and I just say to him, man, I just feel like the Lord told me, you know, just you're on the right track, brother. You know, keep going, man. He loves you. And he says, man, I was just asking God just a minute ago privately, what are you saying to me right now, God? What are you doing? What do you think of me? And I just think, man, that's powerful stuff. That's incredible. I'm encouraged that happened, let alone if you're the kid just sitting there wondering what God thinks of you, and then someone walks over and says that right after you pray it. I mean, that stuff just is not neutral. That thrusts people further, and it inspires me to keep going. Every time I get used in one of the gifts, in even a small way, I'm just like, Lord, if that made me encouraged, I mean, just what is level 10 do, you know? Because I think I've seen it's a level 1 and 2, but I mean, we in 1 Corinthians 12, at the end of the chapter, maybe it's 14, I think it's 14, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul gives a scenario that when everyone has a prophetic spirit on them in the gathering, and the unbeliever comes in, and people are given words of knowledge, and the secrets of his heart are revealed, it says that guy will fall on his face and say, God's really here. And I think, man, until we hit everyone prophesying and people coming in saying, God's really here, we just haven't hit it yet. I mean, until that happens, I'm thinking, we got to go for more. I've seen like level 1 of that happen, like kind of slightly, almost, sort of, kind of that happen. But I'm waiting for the day when we do a conference and people are prophesying and healings are breaking out and the unbelievers say, this is real. God's actually here. I didn't believe in Him until just now, but man, that guy told me the secret of my heart. My leg got healed, and evidently God's here. I want that to happen. And more than I want it to happen, God wants that to happen for His own fame and glory. Makes me excited just talking about it. So here, my point in saying letter C is don't count yourself out. For whatever you've gone through, whatever your past history is, it doesn't disqualify you. You're saved. God's Spirit is in you. And you can flow in the gifts. And I would encourage you to step out and be used by them. Let's go to letter D here. We'll bring this to a close in a couple minutes. I think it's very important to realize this. Is that when you are used in a small way. Let's say, you know, we have a brother struggling. Man, I got a headache. Let's get together and pray. If that headache goes down 10% or 1%, we're flowing in the gifts. That's real. If we pray for someone's leg to get healed and it only feels a little better, that's a genuine healing. And so what happens a lot is people are thinking, oh, I'm going to pray for the biggest miracle ever, and only 10% of the headache gets healed, or the leg only feels a little better, it's less bruised. And we don't cultivate gratefulness for that. We don't say, man, Lord, that 10% healing was awesome. If we despise the little things, if we kind of go, well, it wasn't really what I prayed for, that wasn't really the big thing I was believing for, we won't see the big stuff if we're not grateful for the little things. I'll take 100, you know, headaches 10% healed because that's real. Now, I want to get to the big ones, but I know the way there is we say thank you when it's 1% healing. Thank you when the guy feels a little bit better. We just say thank you, Jesus, for the way you moved, the little way, the small way, because that is actually flowing in the gifts. You think you got the most basic prophetic word, but you gave it and it kind of encouraged someone. You're flowing in gifts. And we not work in the religious sense, but we work into the bigger, greater things. And we do it by faith. We do it over time. So if the very most you've ever been used is like a slight healing or a little prophetic word, thank the Lord. Lord, thank you. You're stirring up the gifts in me. And don't despise that little way God's using you. It'll grow. Now, we're all hoping that the next time we lay hands on a guy, cancer is healed immediately. Or, you know, they get a new heart or, you know, something absolutely radical. And those will happen. And sometimes it'll happen and you have no history even praying for that. But very often, the test is we got to do it in the little. And can we do little prophetic words, little prophetic words? Oh, a big one came. Okay, little prophetic words, you know. And so that's just often how it works. So don't despise the small beginnings of even moving in the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, be thankful. Lord, thank you that you used me to deliver a 1% headache healed. And often you pray for someone and you think nothing happens, but I believe by faith that something always does happen. You never know. Just because we can't judge it with our natural senses, something may have happened spiritually. We don't know. The whole group laid hands on the guy. Nothing seemingly happened, but the next day they feel better and they don't know why. Well, God chose to answer it then. Or maybe he set something in motion that would take place in a year because of that group praying. You never know. And so I've just come to a place where I just believe every time we agree in prayer, something did happen. Something real happened. Just sometimes it manifests instantly and sometimes there's a delay. I don't understand all of that. But I've just committed to believing. We lay hands on the guy, nothing happens. I believe something happened. And I don't always know why it's not manifesting fully, but we just keep praying. Now, John Wimber, most people know that name. He had a world-famous ministry when he was in the heights of, you know, starting the Vineyard. And he's famous for, you know, his teaching on healings and miracles. But he was well-known for talking about how for years they saw no healings, no miracles. And they would fast and they would pray and they would do seemingly everything and nothing happened year after year. And he kind of coined the idea, you know, if I keep praying for, you know, 1,000 people, eventually someone's going to get healed. If I just keep praying, and his whole notion was it's faith to keep laying hands on people even though you've never seen a healing. Because we kind of think, well, I prayed for 3 people and nothing happened. So, you know, maybe it just doesn't work. And he's like, no, you're going to have to probably pray for like thousands of people. And then finally one will break through and then it'll just be consistent at that point. And so never, never give up laying hands on people. Now, I look at it like this. If I would not have been open to giving that guy that impression, nothing would have happened there. He would have still probably loved Jesus. I would have loved Jesus, but that would not have happened. And there's many things that would not have happened last week if I didn't just step out. And just like gifts of healings or any of the gifts, if we don't actually come over and put our hand or stop the guy on the corner, that little God moment doesn't happen. And I don't understand how that all works into the sovereign plan of God, but it's like when you step out in faith to deliver that, God just does more, and it's just neat. I want to do it more. Okay. Now here's the challenge, letter E. The challenge is this, is take what I'm sharing and just make it personal. And just begin to ask the Lord over the next few weeks, if you're wanting to track with this series, just begin to pray, Lord, use me more. You know, it's like, thank you, Lord, you're not waiting for me to be more dedicated. You're not waiting for me in 20 years to finally get it. He wants to use us more today. He wants to fill us and use us today. Sometimes people say, well, you know, maybe if I start being used in the gifts, you know, maybe, you know, I'll get proud or something like that. Or maybe, you know, I'll misuse them. And there's all these fear-based ideas. But at the end of the day, how does a powerless believer and a powerless church give honor to the Lord when the whole Bible is filled with signs, wonders, and miracles and the power of the Holy Spirit? I mean, the apostle that wrote half the New Testament said, my ministry is not just in words, it's in the power of the Spirit. That's the main crux of my ministry. It's not just arguments, it's the power realm released and manifested. And I just think if Peter, you know, the guy begging and he, you know, help me, when they're going to the Gate Beautiful to pray, and if Peter would have said, well, you know, sorry, bro, but, you know, I wish I could help you, but, you know, miracles stopped when Jesus died. You know, or, I mean, just all the things we say today. Peter, I don't have money, bro, but I could heal you. God's on my life, and so get up, be healed. I mean, we try to think of so many arguments that get us, you know, off the hook, and we feel so noble about it. But God's saying, nope, I didn't change, actually. And I know that it sounds really smart to say this and that, but really, I'm still that same man and that same spirit that the book of Acts, all those guys walked in. And that's available today. And it will change people. It will change families. It will change society. It will change our city if you believe in it and move toward it. And I just think, man, if Peter would have just been your average, you know, 21st century believer, just, oh, poor guy just sitting there. No, I don't got any money, sorry. I mean, these guys, they, whatever they were doing in life, man, they just were open to the Spirit moving through them. I mean, half of the stories in the book of Acts, it's just, they're not in a church. They're all over the place, in the town, in the middle of a, you know, a city square, or, you know, they're just doing the power of the Spirit anywhere they go. Okay, so my challenge is believe for the gifts. Believe, read the Scriptures. Go through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. Go through the book of Acts. Get reinvigorated in this. And again, I put the two verses here, 1 Corinthians 12, 31 and 14, 1. Both say, eagerly desire the gifts. Eagerly desire the greater gifts. And then Paul throws in, especially the prophetic. We'll talk about that another week. But there's something about when we really, it's like the kid, I really want my Nintendo for Christmas. Please, Dad. Is there something that we don't earn it, but he goes, you get it. There's something childlike about, man, if he's got a gift for me, I want it for real. Because anything from God is good and healthy. There's so many believers, well, I don't want to get deceived. I don't want to accidentally catch a demon or something. And it's like, do you realize what you're saying? How can God give you something bad? It's impossible. The only thing God gives are good, beneficial gifts. And so you're never going to like catch a cold from God. It's like, Lord, I ask for you to use me in the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, I accidentally got demon possessed. It's just not going to happen. It's never going to happen. But yet so many people have these weird ideas that somehow like something will slip through that's super negative. No. Just like God gives us, you know, blessings of clothes and food and finance, things like that. He gives us the gifts of the Spirit for our benefit and for the benefit of others. And so we would do well to really say, God, I want this stuff. I want it. I want to be used in it. I want to be built up by it. I want to build up others. So let's believe by faith. I have it written here. Let's believe by faith to believe for and see an increased outpouring of the Spirit here in our city, in our life, our nation, our generation. Let's be an empowered people. Let's really believe that there would be a power dynamic on our life. And not trying to hype it up and act a certain way, get a persona or something like that. I'm really against that, actually. I just want to be normal me, and there's a real, genuine giftedness of the Spirit. And here's the good news. You don't have to have any talents. You don't have to be super good at anything, but you can have God on your life. And that's really what I want to get into. I just want to be in the grocery store. We were praying this last night, me and Ken, just going for it on a Friday night. And I'm like praying for Ken that he would just be in the grocery store and people would just weep when they walk by him. It's because God's on his life. Like, why not believe for just crazy cool stuff, like where the power dynamic is manifesting? You know, I think of Brother Sue Hale, who interned here this year, where he was just walking his dog in the park and Jared Schilling walks up to him and just reads his mail. And he just gets set free, saved, and on a whole new trajectory instantly. And I'm like, man, if not just one or two people did this, if whole churches did this stuff, I'm talking about people would get saved in mass quickly. And you just when you open a guy's heart for them and you just tell them everything, you're just taken by that. Or when their cancer's healed or whatever, it can't just be one or two anymore. It's got to be the entire region moving in this, and I don't want to go for it. Okay, we'll end there. So we got some time for Q&A. I left 11 minutes. Wow, that's a miracle. Amen, amen. All right, I'm going to take a seat because I'm old. My back's giving out. I don't know. Getting there. When I turned 35, I threw out my back. And I'm like, wow, is this what happens? This is the first time I ever did that. I guess it's downhill from there physically. But glory to glory spiritually.
Don't say so.
All right. Faith statement. Okay, questions. Throw them at me. Shout them out. Okay. Questions. Yeah. Oh, Kaylee's tapping on your shoulder there.
We have an experiment. Oh.
Careful there, Kaylee.
A lot of times when we're talking about the gifts of the church, there's that comparison to the book of Acts, and oftentimes I found that it's been just very critical, almost, and I think I've even rode that line a little bit, too, in the past, but,
okay.
You know, we're not where we need to be, we're not where we ought to be, the church sucks, and God's mostly displeased with
right.
the Western church.
Right.
Is that where we're coming from, or is it, where are we coming from? I don't want to load the question up too much.
Oh, okay, so as far as... Okay, so say it in a different way, because there's a lot of disgruntled okay. people out there.
How does God view it that we don't?
Okay,
we're not currently living.
Okay.
In the same way that the church in Acts was living.
Right.
Is he waiting for him to open the door? The door is already open. We moved. We need.
No,
to
I see. I see where you're
both
going.
Hands.
Absolutely. Okay. So. Kind of like, what's God's role? What's our role? Who needs to do what? What's he even think about it? Is that kind of...
just to kind of develop a backbone of where it is that we're going and how we get there.
Okay. Well, so in the back of my mind, I have this idea. I think we all have some kind of idea of where it's going. And that's... That's ecclesiology. It's where's the church going? What does God want the church to be? But my conviction is he wants us to be flowing in the biblical reality that we see in the New Testament. And we're not there yet. But I don't think he's mad about that. I think he kind of knows that he's going to kind of uncover it progressively to the end. And so he's not angry. I think he's deeply pleased and in love with the church. Yet, within that... He says, I want you to desire it. But we can't desire it if he doesn't initiate it. So if I have desire for it, suddenly he put it there. And so he says, okay, I gave you a little bit of desire. I just kind of threw a little salt on your heart. Now what do you do with that? And so it's this kind of dance. He initiates the first step and, oh, I want it, God. But then from there, we have to study it, pray it, step out and cultivate it like we would a garden. And take care to grow it in our life and call for it in the community. And even if we see a little progress, You know, it's good. That little progress is helpful. And eventually, you know, taking little baby steps forward here and there in the community, and then the nation gets a little bit of an away. Eventually, the big one's coming. But I don't think that, you know, I'm not, if it doesn't happen, I'm not going to be offended. But I want it. But I want full-scale national awakening. Gifts of the Spirit in every region. Like, I want what they walked in the Bible. And what Jesus calls us to is to be a mature church. I don't think we can be mature and not be moving in all the gifts. I think that's just a total misnomer. I think there's a theological and a spiritual, there's many realms to the church being fully radiant, the church he's going to come back for, pure and spotless, etc. So yeah, I think that gives a little bit of background. I think we have this happy Father in heaven who is just, man, there's so much more. And I'm going to help you, but there is an element of where you enter in and pray and contend and believe and desire and step out, etc. Is that good?
Perfect.
Okay.
Good job.
Yeah, I live in a world where God's happy with me even though I'm not fully mature yet. Mm-hmm. And he's the coach dad. He's like my dad, like my real dad. He was like my dad and my soccer coach. And I was like, awesome. He's like my dad. But then he tells me how to kick a ball. Like, so cool. Like, he is not only like this mean, angry coach, but then we get to go back to dad's house and he loves on us. He's this loving dad that's also coaching us well. And so there's this reality where he loves us, but he's helping us. And so that's kind of how I look at it. Now, if I just rebel and say, no, God, year after year after year after year after year after decade after decade, at some point, yeah, there's an issue there. But God's really good at getting me back, but I just don't want to do that. He's just a really good dad, and I want to be a good son. So, yeah, you had your, sorry, Glenn. Oh, who was first? I want to be a gentleman here.
Go Tyler first.
Okay, Tyler. Do you have to have a nearness and an intimacy with the Lord to walk in the gifts? I don't believe so. Only because I've seen many people walk in the gifts who are young in the Lord. You can get saved and heal someone day one. I mean, there's just, as soon as we say, here's the preferable, what I would prefer is we're all mature, deep in the Lord, and responsible with the gifts. It's not always how it works. Not only in the Bible, but also historically. Many people who were used most powerfully fell away from the Lord. Many people fell into grievous sin. I mean, some of the big names throughout history. Some of the major prophets of the Bible were sketchy. So, I mean, it's just... I'm just being real. Like, it just... Peter fell away from Jesus. And then 2 weeks later, he's doing signs, wonders, and miracles. Like, it's just... I wish it were neat and clean, but it's not. And so we don't use that as an excuse, though. We disciple people. We teach maturity. We just say, hey, you know, healing people doesn't get you in the kingdom. You know, that's a manifestation of power, but we want to stay close to the Lord. We don't want to hear on that day, I barely knew you, but I healed people and did prophecy, but I don't know you. So what's interesting, Tyler, is the context where Jesus says the I don't know you parable. The people said, but we delivered people of demons, healed people, and gave prophetic words. So they're being used in power gifts, and the idea is they didn't know the Lord that well. There's coming a day where the outpouring touches all flesh. And so immature, mature, half in, half out, are all flowing in it. And I don't even know if we know up and down. But so I would prefer close to the Lord. You know, I would so prefer neat, clean. Like, Lord, polish us up, make us perfect, and then we're used by God. So there's no messes, but it's just not how he works. So, but that I would never say, just accept that. If someone's irresponsible with their life, we need to help them for real. And we don't say, oh, you're moving in healing. We don't care what you do. No, no, no. Doesn't matter what your giftedness is. If you're flowing and stuff, you're more accountable. And so it's here's the thing. The more empowered we are, the more our flesh wants to get proud and less accountable. Well, I'm healing people. Why are you correcting me? You need to be way more accountable, way more open to reproof. But our heart's so finicky and fickle. Anyway, is that helpful?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I comment?
Yeah, please do. Please comment. Absolutely.
It's all the body of Christ. But then he goes on to say, if I speak in tongues and speak in the languages of angels, if I don't have love, I'm nothing.
Right.
So, all of this, hinged on love.
Yes.
And that's, really the root of it. So, the gifts aren't for, the elite person.
That's right. That's right.
They're really for, for everyone. They're
for everyone.
After all, but they're not the same thing as fruit, and the
right.
Love is still after fruit, and so love's the gift.
That's right. And we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit in one of these teachings. So that's really good. And I do want to, that's a great point, because some people say, well, are you saying I'm not saved because I'm not into the Holy Spirit or, flowing in the gifts? And I would heartily say, obviously you're saved. But we have to recognize no one gets saved except by the Holy Spirit. So you're already acknowledging the Spirit saved you. And so, yeah, but we definitely don't want to condescend on people not into the gifts. They're genuinely saved. The Holy Spirit is just when the Holy Spirit comes in at salvation, and the gifts are Him being released back out. And I was really blessed when Francis Chan said that. There's millions of Christians in our nation alone that just are not into the Holy Spirit. I think there's so much more that's available. But we're no better than them. We're no less than them. We're all on the same team. We're all loved, favored of the Lord. But we gently call people, there's more. And then they're saying, they've got their message. Well, there's more of what we're saying. Well, yeah. But I think that the gifts of the Spirit are kind of a big deal. And so great, great heart behind that, Lexi. That was a great point. Okay, quick follow-up here, and then we'll get to Glenn. Yeah. I think, yeah. Yeah, so when you're already saved, I think you will notice a great increase in your personal life if you say yes to the Lord, yes to holiness. But it's not a across-the-board reality. For some reason, God just chooses people to be gifted day one in radical gifts that are just mind-blowing. And so they have to learn how to walk mature with that. Most Christians, they kind of ease into it, but it's not always the case. So, Glenn. Okay.
First, I really appreciated that you spelled out et cetera, et cetera. I just don't see that anymore at all. So kudos.
I'm all about the ancient paths.
I like it. Actually, seeing the full spelling of it taught me how to pronounce it better. I used to say it. Anyway. And also, I see right before that in the notes it says the gift of healings is the board categorical term. You mean broad and not board?
You get a dollar.
Okay, now for the question.
100 pennies coming to you.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Oh, hey, however you want it, man.
Yeah.
If you find a typo, you get a dollar, but there's only one, so you got to call it out during the teaching.
But the real question.
I put that on the back, actually, now, because too many people were getting me. And I owe Holly a dollar still. I forgot.
So. It's funny that you're actually talking about it, because it happened to me earlier today when I was walking around. I took a walk around campus and I saw this guy, and I was like, "Lord, you got anything to say to him?" And it was just,
got me thinking, like, what's, you know, I know, I mean, what do you, what's some of the practical tips you have? Is it kind of like a, are you like, because I don't want to, like, stare at people and, like, ask the Lord what he's saying about them. You know what I'm saying? Like, that feels a little weird, but at the same time, you know, but are you just like, I just, you're praying and suddenly God's highlight something to you, so you go there? Or are you purposely asking first?
You don't want to just sit down and stare at them. Just be like, what's up, man?
Yeah. I don't know why it's, you know, maybe it's a habit I'm going to break, but I feel like, you know, when I'm thinking about that or praying for him, I just do want to look at him, and then that's kind of weird, so.
So, like, how do you...
Yeah, like, for you yourself personally, how do you kind of, like, get things?
When I get a word, okay.
Are you, like, asking, like, when you walk around, do you see that guy in the door, what are you saying about that guy? Or you just kind of walk around and drop something in your heart.
Gotcha.
Kind of like the burning bush thing where you just kind of notice something. And
yes.
In the middle of it, God's there.
Well, okay, so personally, here's the thing. So this is something I've developed, okay? So it's like, you know, you just kind of have to learn over the years. But what I think works is, you know, if you're in a spiritual meeting, like a church service or a prayer meeting, or it's way easier to tune in. Because you're there, you're not thinking, oh, I got to go get groceries at Kroger, and, you know. So it's like, it's way easier when you're in a spiritual context. So in that context, I'm just kind of always trying to be like, Lord, you know, what are you? It's a kind of a mindset. And if I notice someone and he wanting me to speak to them, I'll just kind of, like in that prayer meeting, I'm just pushing the stroller around, just thinking, what are you saying, Lord? And just getting impressions. But usually I get a very small word. Almost every time it's just a little tiny, go up to that guy and say he's on the right track. Something like a very brief impression. And so, yeah, I'm just kind of thinking about it, praying about it for a second, and then I go deliver it, and usually more unpacks when you give it. But if you're like at the store or like at campus or whatever, I mean, it's just a whole different, you know, believers expect that. But an unbeliever, you just kind of have to pray for the zero awkward anointing. Lord, help this. And that's honestly where the word of wisdom comes in. I mean, we get the piece of knowledge, we get the word of knowledge, but then we say another prayer, Lord, how can I even approach this guy to even make this helpful to this unbeliever or someone I've never met? And I think if you're just cordial, hey, bro, how you doing, man? Just wanted to say I noticed you and I'm a Christian. And you just kind of blurt it out there. Is that cool? I mean, because if you wait for their permission, hey, I've got a prophetic word. Can I pray with you? Then it gets weird. So you got to just ask for wisdom. And just go with it, though. I mean, I've had so many super weird experiences. But I mean, totally. So weird. At work or at, you know, just a weird place. I mean, I remember one time, a couple vacations back, I was in literally the dirtiest bathroom in a gas station I've ever been in. And I start getting a download for this guy there. And I'm like, I'm really not about to just minister in this dirt hole. I mean, it was disturbing being in there. It was just disgusting. And I'm like, you really want me to say something right up in here? And I was like, bro, I just say, bro, I just, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a missionary. The Lord spoke to me about you. And I just began to give the word, and then I just kind of hightailed it out of there. And the dude was really blessed. He's like, unbelievable. Like, he said that how that confirmed something, and I had no idea who it was. And see, you just try to do it, and it's always weird usually. And I so many times I'll go up to a Christian, hey, man, can I pray? No. Oh, okay. Because I just thought the Lord would, no. But you're a Christian. I thought, oh, no. It's like, okay. Sometimes believers are just really weird. And you're like thinking, you're thinking they're open to, and they're not. You say, okay. You just quench the spirit. I'll see you later. You know. Is that helpful?
Yeah, I think part of it was just like the process of how you go about it. Is it something that you're actively looking for? Like, you're looking at people and you don't have anything, just maybe the Lord will give you something?
Yeah.
Or like, are you just going through the day and the Lord drops something?
Yeah, it's a mindset. It's okay, Lord, I'm here and I'm going to step out and do prophetic words. I've made that decision. Now, will you talk to me about people? So I'm in. I'm really actively listening. But so then I notice this. So I'm going around the room scanning. I'm looking, and that guy sticks out to me. Why does that guy stick out to me? You know, go say this. But these are all really subtle impressions that I'm not sure sometimes it's me or the Lord. And I've been doing this for 15 years. So it's still really vague, but I've learned over the years this impression, it's encouraging. You can't go wrong with it. If it's not the Lord, it's still encouraging. So stuff like that, you can't go wrong. And then it's like, boom, you know, you hit it, and the guy says you hit it, and so then you're like, wow, I'm glad I did that. So, but yeah, it is a mindset. I'm not always like that. I'm just saying there's certain times where I'm just like, woo. And like that, there's a couple particular nights where it was like the Lord really got my attention. And basically was like, you're going to prophesy over people like tonight. And that doesn't happen a lot either. But it was just super grace to flow in it. So I would just step out as much as you can. And if it's weird, everybody's weird. Probably something weirder happened to that guy later. If you totally botch it, something weird's going to happen to that guy. You know, it's just like we all do, weird stuff's going to happen to people. It might as well be a Jesus guy trying to give him a word, you know. A couple more and then we'll go back to worship here. Story of my life. Okay, so someone's been praying, believing, they've not seen it for years. Don't quit. Because you never know when the breakthrough is going to come. Never know. I've been praying for my throat to be healed for 3 years. You never know when it's just, boom, fine. You know, I've been praying for so many things for so long, I just stick with it. But be thankful. You know, be thankful. God, thank you. You have a meaning for this to be delayed. You're training me in righteousness. God says that in Hebrews 12, to receive difficulties as loving discipline. And then through that season of difficulty, there's no breakthrough. It's going to produce a harvest of righteousness and peace in my life. And so there's a meaning to the difficulty being there, and then it's lifted. So why was it 3 years and not... Yeah. So I would just keep going, keep praying, keep believing, because there's a meaning in that process. Don't think, oh, I must be unbelieving. No, there's something about that. I'm going to keep going and just be thankful. Lord, I don't know. I don't understand it, but I thank you. He says the will of God is to be thankful in all things. I thank you for what you're doing in this. Keep a grateful spirit. Keep contending. And you just never know. I mean, just as an example, just came to mind. Look at our beautiful new prayer board there. Unbelievable. Laura's season. Wow. It looked so bad. But there were so many prayers that I was literally thinking these won't ever be answered. Like I just think, but we'll still pray them. But some of the hardest prayers began to get checked off. I mean, there's stuff on there we prayed for ever since we started day one. One of them was Pastor Saeed, who was in prison for 3 years in some Al-Qaeda prison. And everybody just loves Pastor Saeed and everybody knew about him. And then just one day he was out. And I know millions were praying for him. But you're just like, check, oh, okay. And, you know, but people, you know, there's been so many like crazy, like a guy is sent out of jail. You just never know with God. I mean, I've seen people get a new van, debt free, like all these crazy miracles. We prayed all the time. And so you just, when you're most tempted to give up and quit and be offended at God, you're in the season of breakthrough already. The enemy is lurking. He's trying to get you to quit. He's clawing at you. He's trying to attack you. And you just keep praying, keep pressing. And then one day it's just going to be, oh, it's answered. It's funny because the longer you pray, the more anticlimactic it is. It's just like, oh, it's answered. Oh, whoa. That's how it works. You just pray and then it happens. I think what was the verse in James where it says Elijah prayed? And then it rained. And he prayed again and it didn't rain. Is that how it goes? It says something in there about 3 years. Right. I don't know how biblical this statement's about to be, but when you have to preface it like that, it's kind of silly. there's just something about the 3-year deal. Like, I mean, Elijah was controlling weather patterns, okay? That's a big one. And that took a season to release and unrelease. I mean, that just took time. And so not that every big miracle takes 3 years. I'm just saying that sometimes there's a real process God invites us into, and it's just a long period. And he wants us to change as much as we want the prayer answered. I mean, he wants to change us more than we want it answered. So that's why. All right, I think we'll bring an end to it there. Unless there's one last. Okay, no one chomping at the bit here. All right, well, Lord, we thank you for this time of questions and teaching, and just bless this next season of worship in Jesus' name. Amen.